Good afternoon. It's Cross Currents. I'm Allison Bektesh, filling in for Carolyn Heldman. Joining me in the studio this afternoon are Allison Daly, Executive Director and Grief Counselor at Pathfinders, and Marissa Mullins, who is the founder of the Lyle Angel Fund, named after her son Lyle. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Marissa, Lyle's Angel Fund is the outcome of losing your seven-year-old son, Lyle. When was that? What were the circumstances?
So that was back in March of 2012, and he was at our family ranch with his cousins, and they were exploring. They went on a hike. It was everything a normal day. Beautiful day. Sunshine. It was like the first day of spring. Mm-hmm. And they were hiking, and they went up this little embankment, it wasn't steep, but it was rocky. And two other children were with him, and he went up the embankment, and he reached up for a rock, and it loosened, and it fell right on top of him. And it killed him instantly.
You weren't there.
We were not there. My husband and I were not there. He was with his cousins, and it was the first time, the first time we'd ever let him go to the ranch without us. And we felt comfortable because he was with his cousins. Mm-hmm. He's with the cousin's parents. He was with his grandmother. There are plenty of adults around. And it was just
awful.
Awful. And just a freak accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, for all of us who hike every day,
yeah,
in the valley, it could be there, but for the grace of God.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry,
yes,
about that.
And you know, you go through and you're like, if he would have just gone 5 feet that way,
mm-hmm,
or maybe if they wouldn't have gotten there 5 minutes, or if they would have gotten there 5 minutes later, circumstances would have been different. Mm-hmm. And you just, those questions go through your mind constantly. So
when we talk about stages of grief, what was your initial stage? Were you doing that questioning, and what state were you in?
Shock, complete shock. Your body just
shuts down.
I initially started just throwing up. When I got the phone call, the phones were ringing, and then we'd get disconnected because it was out on the ranch and your cell phones didn't work. You know, they don't work very well out there. So a phone would ring and they'd be like, "Marissa, Marissa," like panic. You could hear the panic in their voice. And then you'd disconnect and you're like, "Oh my God, what is happening? What is going on? What is," and then another lady would call and she was crying. And then finally, Lyle's grandmother got a hold of me, and these were her exact words. She said, "It's really bad. He didn't make it." Mm. And my cell phone flew across the room. I screamed, and I threw my cell phone across the room. And my little boy's on my leg, just screaming. At that time, he was a three-year-old, my little boy Finn, was just hugging my leg. "Mommy, mommy, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And you can't even talk. Mm-hmm. There are no words. And so initially, your body shuts down and you go into complete shock.
I'm sure it's a completely different thing when you're also still a mother to another son, though, and then the next day comes and the next day comes.
The next day comes, and then you have family coming in, and everything happens so quickly. Mm-hmm. And you really, or me personally, it was hard to breathe. It was hard to talk. It was hard to walk. It was, you know, trying to sleep was ridiculous. I mean, useless, you know, because you have everything going through your mind at 100 miles an hour, and what happened and why, and why my baby, and why not me, type of questions.
At some point, a mutual friend suggested that you do speak with Allison. Do you both remember that initial conversation?
I remember it really well. I remember her friend calling me, Paula called me, and what I remembered when Marissa and I first talked was that I just felt instantly connected to her. It was, I could feel, number one, I could absolutely feel her pain. She could barely talk because she was crying so hard on the phone when she started to kind of tell me the story and stuff. But there was just this connection that we had. And at that point, you know, I'm this kind of this weird person, but I knew it was her son, Lyle. I knew that Lyle was going to be a part of our lives. And so it was just a hard connection. You never want to be connected to somebody that way. You never want that for them. but I wanted to just be present for her if that could help at all.
Marissa, I'm sure you had been talking about it to everyone who loves and cares about you. Was there something different about calling someone who was removed and kind of professional and explaining what you were going through in that manner?
Instantly, for sure. There was just such a comfort in talking to Allison, and it was immediate. And I feel like our friendship is, you know, we've become friends out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
What's your strategy? So for speaking with someone who comes to you with a new loss or who is grieving, what do you want to know from them?
You know, it's interesting. It's for me, it's important that they tell the story and that they really tell me in detail, because a lot of times that the people around them that are really close don't want it. Necessarily hear those details, or they can't hear them. And so for me, it was really important to hear every aspect of what had happened, but also for Marissa to be able to get out all the different feelings that she was having around it. You know, there's so many complications within grief. And to me, it's about kind of, it's almost like, you know, taking an onion and peeling off all the different layers. And so it's not that I have anything that I can say that's going to make anything better, but I can really just show up and really help. I think you can really help somebody to understand that part of what they're going through is really normal and that they can get through this, but that it's just this road that they are going to travel. And I always tell them, I said, you know, what my role is to walk beside you and to hold your hand. You know, that's my job. I can't fix this. I can't change this. But we can walk together through this. And so that's really, I guess, sort of.
And she did the entire way.
Yeah.
And she really navigated me through some dark, dark spots. And
was it stuff you would have otherwise hidden? I mean, was the talking about it?
I don't know if hidden is the right word, but not really know how to process it without the guidance. Mm.
Allison, you also can connect to Marissa on another level. Can you share a little bit of your background?
One of the things that was pretty incredible to me about, I mean, I had lost my brother to suicide, but the thing that was incredible to me was that my husband had lost his whole family when a rock fell on them. And so to me, when she started to tell me that story, I was like, oh my gosh. And that, and all the questions she had of like the 5 minutes and this and that. And it was exactly the same for my husband. And so there was the, you know, there was that connection. And I had had, a deep connection, kind of a metaphysical connection with my husband's family. And I had the instant one with Lyle. So it was just, you know, I don't talk about that a lot, but she and I talked about it. And it was a really important, I think, connection for us.
What was some of that arc as you were dealing with grief and loss? What were you feeling about yourself in the situation when you first started speaking with Allison, and where have you both grown together now?
So, well, I would say, like, one of the things that sort of the arc is, you know, and because she didn't live here, I really looked at it more of like kind of I was just showing up for her. Like, I mean, I had professional, obviously, but we really were friends almost from the very beginning. And so yeah. I would say that the friendship, you know, that it was really a friendship and rather than a professional relationship per se. And we, I would say we just went through kind of the valleys of what death takes you through together. And we would talk sometimes once, twice a week, sometimes more. We would just text a lot. And she would text me and just say different things of what she was struggling with. And then I would text her back. And so, you know, I would say that really it's come around, especially with now it's more of, it's like when she comes to town or when we're working on the stuff with the Lyle's Angel Fund, it's, you know, I get to tell her all these beautiful stories. And so it's more of this celebration of Lyle's life. And that's yes. The part to me that's so beautiful.
And she really shifted me from that intense grief into honor. Mm-hmm. And that gave me the shift of living again.
That's Marissa Mullins, who is the founder of the Lyle Angel Fund. She's here with Allison Daly, the executive director and grief counselor at Pathfinders. We're going to take a break and talk more about Lyle's Angel Fund. You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh, filling in for Carolyn Heldman. My guests today are Marissa Mullins and Allison Daly. They're speaking about Lyle's Angel Fund in memory of Marissa's son, Lyle. Right before the break, we talked about that transition from grief and loss and, I imagine, guilt, and there's nothing to work for, to finding a way to honor Lyle, and you have this new project. Where did the ideas for the Lyle's Angel Fund begin?
You know, what was really cool was that they were sending money to sort of, you know, I guess, pay me back for what I was doing for the time. And I would always end up taking the money and I would give it to some, like, you know, I would give it to somebody who just needed something. Well, it became a thing where really that really was what Lyle was doing. He was showing me people who needed something. It would be, you know, sometimes it would be help with rent because people just had no money. And, you know, because I work up and down the valley. I'm down in Rifle and Parachute, and it's a Carbondale and Glenwood, and you know, we live in a bubble here. And so I see need, and Lyle saw need. And he would always end up orchestrating each month who he wanted. And I was telling Marissa, like, it's fun because the end of the month is coming, and so my radar is up. It's like, okay, who's Lyle going to bring now? And I know he's, I know that he's going to bring somebody who needs it.
Marissa, why start something like that?
First of all, I think it gave me some focus, some direction with my grief. Mm. Instead of just spinning and having those feelings focused in a direction really helped me. And it's really brought about some positive things out of such tragedy that brings a different perspective to your life. And when something happens to you like this, it's such a tragedy, but if you can turn it into something positive and help somebody, mm-hmm. that's what really helped my heart, is helping others whether it be a little thing or, you know, in everyday life too, you know, a little thing, you know, helping someone, you know, financially in some way, or, you know, if you see someone that needs help walking across the street, I mean, it all kind of goes together. Mm-hmm. So it's really given me a different perspective on things and gave me a focus as well.
You've started doing stuff like that more now.
Oh, sure.
Experiencing grief yourself.
Yes, yes.
And how has this come up? Have you met with other parents who've lost a child? It's such a specific, devastating type of loss. What have you learned about kind of the world around and the everyday people you walk by who's grieving?
It's a different journey, for sure. And I feel that, I don't know if I always have the right words, but I understand what they're going through. And, you know, it's not always like a hug or a touch of a hand or a text that's sent with a heart on it means everything. It doesn't always have to be a huge production. It's just the support and caring.
Can we talk about that a little longer, especially if there's any listeners themselves who have recently lost someone, especially in a way where I think there's just that guilt on you? What is normal, and what are some of the things they're going to experience? How do you work through stuff like that?
You know, I think that guilt is just a form of grief. It really is. I mean, guilt, and I think that it's interesting because, you know, grief just manifests itself in every single kind of way. And so to me, once again, it's about sort of peeling back the onion. I don't know so much. I mean, I think for them, even though they weren't there, they really got that there was nothing you could do. I think they just wish they could have been with him. You know,
yeah.
I would say regret is a really big one in grief, too, that really sort of is a corresponding emotion where, you know, what I always say is let's take that regret. And I actually have this little tool I use, and we take it through a bunch of questions. We kind of unpeel the layers. And what comes down at the end of it is, I just missed my baby. That's really what's underneath almost everything in it. It's just, I'm just miss them. I just want them back. And so those are kind of, they're, you know, almost every emotion you take, you can unlayer it to goes to the missing. And so then when we can take something like what's so cool is that Lyle would bring certain people. One of the people that he brought to me that recently actually that helped was a young man who's here working in the ski industry, just, you know, for, I don't know if he'll end up staying or being able to afford to stay. But he had lost his brother back in the Midwest to a motorcycle accident. And they were very, very close. And he had not had an opportunity to really feel all the things that he felt, because he had been home and then came right back. And so he was this 20-something-year-old and just sitting in the chair across from me, and it was like Lyle just said, he's a brother. He's lost his brother. He needs this. And so it was this beautiful gift. And so I'm like, you know, emailing Marissa, telling her this, and this is what I do. Like every month, it's like, it's such, to me, it's a beautiful thing to be able to see what Lyle does. It's like he meets people where they're, and this guy couldn't believe that he could actually come and talk to someone that he wasn't going to have to fork out $200 because he didn't have it. You know, like he's just getting by. So to me, that's kind of the, you know, underneath all the layers then comes the honoring, like what Marissa was saying, and the what comes after. And that's one of the things I think for Marissa is really neat, is to hear what Lyle's done.
Lyle does have two brothers, one born after he passed away. How do you talk to your sons about this, and what's your family dynamic? How do you work with your husband and the kids, and what's the legacy and the story in the family now?
We speak about Lyle daily, and we just tell him who he was, what he meant to the sport. I mean, he was an amazing child. He was often called an old soul by many.
Mm-hmm.
He was deep. He was serious. And he loved nature. And he was doing exactly what he loved to do.
Yeah. And Finney knew him. Finney has such strong feelings of him.
So Finn was 3 during the accident. And Thomas was born 2015.
Yeah.
So he's 2. So Thomas did not meet him.
Was that a long thought process and discussion to decide to have another child?
No, instant, immediate. I was like, fill my house, you know. So, and I was like, if I have twins, I have triplets, fill my house. And for Finney, too, because he had that connection with his brother. To go from a younger brother.
He's the older brother now.
He's the older brother. And, you know, for years, he was an only child. So that was a completely different role. And now he's the older brother. So he's experienced a lot of different roles in life so far.
And Finney is so, what I love is that Finney's so protective of Marissa. He's the healing aspect.
For such a young boy, he has protected me in so many ways. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
So that breaks my heart. And I wonder how you balance moving on and having a rich, fulfilling life, and how many times a week, a day, you still have to just freeze in your tracks and deal with this grief.
Every day, it happens daily. And balance is, I have Finn, who's 8 now, who's amazing and, like she said, so protective and much more mature than I would call most 8-year-olds, and maybe because it's what he's experienced.
Maybe.
And then here we have Thomas, who was born through in vitro and we had to have a surrogate because I couldn't carry another baby. So what a gift. All babies are miracles. But this baby was something that was, you know, given to us. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
So. You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh. My guests are Marissa Mullins and Allison Daly. We'll be back shortly.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh, filling in for Carolyn Heldman. My guests today are Allison Daly, who's the executive director and grief counselor at Pathfinders here in Aspen, along with Marissa Mullins, who has begun Lyle's Angel Fund in memory of her son. Has this been helpful in the grieving process to have this fund that's helping others?
For sure. It not only allows me to honor my son, it also allows me to help other people who have experienced loss and they are in need. So yes, it definitely has helped.
I would think, though, many who are experiencing grief and loss could get selfish with victimizing their story, and not the initial reaction wouldn't be, well, let me see if everyone else is okay. So there's something special about you that's what you decided to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helped me heal to help others, because I know how dramatic and tragic it feels to have that happen to you. And it felt good to help others, and it helps me in that way.
You know, and one of the things else that I love about it is it takes Lyle's memory and it spreads.
Yes.
You know, like it spreads everywhere, because I always tell the people who receive the money, I tell them about Lyle and I tell them about the family. And so what's so neat about it is that here, like, this 20-something-year-old is thinking all of a sudden about this 6-year-old who died, and his brother has had to live, and he can understand that. And he's like, wow, but they would give back to me. And so he now knows Lyle, you know? Right. And it's like, so that's one of the things that, to me, it's not only beautiful for you, but it's beautiful for these people because they now know Lyle.
So, Allison, it sounds like every month someone benefits from the fund in some way. How does that work?
Well, you know what I do is we take the money, and whatever it is that sort of comes up, then, well, you know, it was interesting because we had one woman who had lost her son to cancer, and it was she was the sole caregiver, lived way down valley, and had to quit her job and had no, like, did not have any money. And so the money helped pay her rent that month. And so she could not, I ended up having it go to her two different months. And she literally would sit in my office and just cry because there was nothing available for her, nothing. And she was just grieving the loss of her son. And it was so interesting because I felt like in that moment, here was this connection between understanding, you know, Marissa's grief and this woman's grief for losing their child, even though her son was much older. So she just couldn't believe that Lyle would do something like this for her, that anybody would do something like this for her. So it's beautiful stories like that, that to me, Lyle gets to just take his wings and fly out into the world.
Do you have other examples of some of the people that Lyle's Angel Fund has helped?
I do. There's another woman who had breast cancer, and Marissa is a breast cancer survivor. And once again, the woman did not have funds to come to counseling. And so we took the money and gave it to Pathfinders to pay for my counseling with her. And she, it's interesting because she's a young mother who, you know, you wouldn't expect someone necessarily at that age who couldn't work anymore and was going through all the treatment. And so for her to get that support was amazing. And so it was just such a, you know, once again, it was this connection to the breast cancer within Marissa.
Marissa, do you have thoughts of Lyle's Angel Fund in the future, other things it could do, or what's your ambition for the fund?
You know, right now I like that it's kind of organic and it has come so naturally to us that we're just letting it flow as it is. And I think the biggest thing is, like Allison said, you know, Lyle will always and forever be in our hearts. His Angel Fund is a way to ensure that he's remembered and his spirit continues to spread through his love. And that's really our, you know, what I'd like it to do and continue doing.
If there are listeners who'd like to help out in Lyle's Angel Fund or with Pathfinders, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you know, with Lyle's Angel Fund, the money just comes from Mark and Marissa. So that's something that we're kind of working on and seeing what we want to do with that, or, you know, what Marissa would like to do with it. We mainly wanted just to let the word out and to kind of spread that. So to me, that's, you know, Pathfinders, people can give to that. But to me, this is, you know, about Lyle's Angel Fund. It's not anything people can really give to right now, but eventually it might happen.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Marissa?
No, just thank you so much for having us and letting us share our story.
And letting us share Lyle.
And share Lyle, yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come in this morning. You've been listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Marissa Mullins, who is the founder of Lyle's Angel Fund, named after her son Lyle, and Allison Daly, who's the executive director and grief counselor at Pathfinders. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.